Stay tuned as we talk about Bible prophecy today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is talking about Bible prophecy. His subject is Getting One World Ready for Two Men. This is a lengthy series, and we know that it's sometimes hard to catch every program. I'll be back at the end of today's message with an important announcement that might be of some help if you missed one of the programs or would like to share this important teaching with friends. And now, with today's installment, here is Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. This is program number 9 in our series of prophetic studies on getting one world ready for two men. And we already spent a week or so here on the program showing you the parallels between the ancient Roman Empire and our 21st century global community. In fact, there's so much continuity, it's almost like the church age never even happened. It's like there's a 2,000-year parenthesis in history, because none of the prophets ever saw the church age, or at least none that I've been able to find. To them, there was no prolonged interlude between the first and second comings of the Messiah. And the reason for that is simply that the church age is a mystery. Do you remember what we said a mystery is in the New Testament? It's a truth that was concealed in the Old Testament, but has been revealed in the New Testament. There are at least 7 of these mysteries in the New Testament. Maybe we'll do a series on that sometime. So the church age is one of those mysteries. It wasn't understood until it was revealed in the New Testament. So that's why there's this uncanny resemblance between the ancient Roman Empire and the description of the way things are going to be at the end of this age. In much the same way that the world was unified in the days of the Roman Empire, the world will also be unified under the kingdom of the anti-Messiah or the Antichrist. And there's a certain continuity between the ancient Roman Empire and this 21st century global community that we've been talking about. Even the Bible recognizes this continuity because it speaks of end time events as though they were occurring within the context of the ancient Roman Empire. So with that in mind, you can do one of two things. You can do what the preterists do and simply place all of these prophecies in the past. That's the easy way to do away with them. And there are some who do exactly that. They put them in the past. So you have these prophecies actually being fulfilled in the days of the ancient Roman Empire. Or the other thing you can do is you can simply say, hey, what's happening here is that the ancient Roman Empire is reborn, or there's a resurgence of Roman rule in the world. You see, it's the same people ethnically, because these are descendants of Japheth, basically Indo-Europeans who speak English and the Romance languages. They're generally from the same stock as the ancient Romans. In other words, the same people who were in charge 2,000 years ago in ancient Rome are the same ones who are in charge today. And you know what? Sometimes we hear people say, well, duh, who else do you think is going to rule the world? I mean, the Japhetic races are the superior races. That's why the white people rule the world. I mean, people actually say that, and some people believe it. But do you realize what an ignorant statement that is? The Japhethites don't rule the world today because they are the superior races. They rule the world today because God prophesied in the book of Genesis that he would make them predominant in the world. It was a prophecy. It was a sort of judgment on the Semitic and Hamitic peoples, who were actually far more advanced in their civilizations than the Japhethites were. Does that surprise you? Did you know that when the Japhethites were still living in caves and swinging through the trees in Europe, the Hamites or the black races had already established a very advanced civilization in Africa? National Geographic magazine has done some wonderful work on the archaeological discoveries in Africa, showing this advanced civilization thousands of years ago. And the same thing is true of the Shemites, or the Semitic peoples who settled in the Middle East. When King Solomon built his great empire 3,000 years ago, do you know what the Japhethites were doing in Europe? They were grunting at each other and rubbing sticks together to try to make fire. Think about it. Where did metallurgy start? And chemistry? And astronomy? Who were the first linguists? Who were the first to establish a code of laws? Who were the first to have a written language? Not the Japhethites. In fact, do you remember we said the Roman Empire started with tribes of shepherds and farmers who lived on the Italian peninsula thousands of years ago? Well, centuries later, the Romans introduced these advanced farming techniques into Europe. It revolutionized farming and enabled the Romans to become much more productive. One farmer could raise enough food to feed 15 or 20 or maybe even 30 people. But here's the thing. Do you know where the Romans got those advanced farming techniques? From the Middle East, from the Semites, the descendants of Shem. You say, Gary, where did you get that? Well, I got it from the Encyclopedia Britannica. You can look it up yourself. We came across it when we were doing the research for this series. The name of the article is The Roman Empire. The Romans learned about farming from the Arabs and the Jewish people, the Semites. The idea of pulling a plow behind an ox, for example, originated in the Middle East. The idea of irrigating crops originated in the Middle East. The idea of rotating crops and letting land lay fallow originated in the Middle East. That's where the Romans got it. The Egyptians were already working with iron 4,000 years ago. They were Hamites, the descendants of Ham. And the ancient Assyrians were the first to figure out how to use iron to make steel 3,500 years ago. Do you know where the Europeans got gunpowder? From the Arabs. And the Arabs got it from the Chinese. So the fact that the Japhethites rule the world today is really a miracle. Because technologically, scientifically, agriculturally, religiously, politically, and in almost every other way, the Japhethites were way behind the Hamites and the Semites in developing their civilizations. Way behind. The reason things have turned out this way is that the Shemites and the Hamites got too big for their britches. That's why Noah prophesied centuries before it happened that the day would come when God would enlarge Japheth and he would dwell in the tents of Shem and Canaan would be his servant, Genesis 9:27. And that's exactly what happened. By the way, if you've ever seen The 13th Warrior, a film based on a Michael Crichton novel, it's about the clash between the Arab and European cultures. It's about this Arab nobleman from Baghdad who is sent north to the land of the Bulgars, which is present-day Bulgaria, to negotiate a peace treaty. This is about 1,000 years ago. And along the way, this Arab nobleman is abducted by a clan of Vikings from Northern Europe. And this main character, who's played by Antonio Banderas, has this huge superiority complex because he feels like he's so much more cultured and so much more refined and, you know, so much more advanced than his captors, these primitive Europeans. They're dirty, they don't bathe, they get drunk all the time, they have the morals of barnyard animals, and this cultured, refined Arab is just really disgusted with them. But then as they get to know each other, and eventually when they have to fight side by side against a common enemy, they finally develop this sort of mutual respect and find that they're not all that different from each other. The name of the book is Eaters of the Dead, and the film they made from the book is The 13th Warrior. And I'm not necessarily recommending it because it's pretty gory. There's a lot of violence and bloodshed in it. But it's an interesting treatment of this same subject we're talking about here. The fact that the Japhethites, who settled in Europe, were in many ways the least advanced of the civilizations of the world. It was true before the days of the Roman Empire, and then again even after the fall of the Roman Empire. That Crichton novel that I was just telling you about takes place in AD 922, long after the fall of the Roman Empire. Even during the Crusades, you had this same clash of cultures. And in many ways, the Arabs and the Muslims were much more advanced scientifically and technologically than the Celts and the English or other people from Europe. So what we're saying is that there's a continuity between the ancient Roman Empire and the end time global kingdom of the anti-Messiah. It too will be a Japhetic or Roman or European kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean it won't include many different ethnic groups and many different nations and many different cultures and many different languages. Indeed, it will. Just like the ancient Roman Empire, it will be very cosmopolitan, very spread out and encompassing many different peoples and languages and cultures. But the people who are in charge will be predominantly Roman or European. In other words, the hub of this vast wheel, this vast empire will be in the Mediterranean region, somewhere in Europe, just like it was in the days of the ancient Roman Empire. And we said this process of preparing the way for this kingdom of the Antichrist occurs in five ways: religiously, geopolitically, technologically, historically, and prophetically. It's getting one world ready for two men. Well, we're out of time for today, so next time we'll start with point number one, getting one world ready religiously for two men. Until then, this is your friend Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. Dr. Hedrick has been talking about the cumulative effect of developments in our generation. Everything is working towards getting one world ready for two men. If you'd like a copy of these programs, they're all available on compact disc for the suggested gift of $18. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com and search for Getting One World Ready for Two Men. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. You'll be glad to know that our daily programs are available as downloadable podcasts. We're listed in the iTunes Music Store. Just access the Music Store through the link on our homepage at cjfm.org or by searching for Messianic Perspectives at the iTunes Music Store. You'll find the subscription information there. Would you rather listen on your computer? Our broadcasts are also available as webcasts. Just click on the media link on our homepage at cjfm.org. Once again, our web address is simply cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Getting One World Ready for Two Men, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.